Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good evening, good afternoon to those around the world and around the country. I am Apostle Prophetess Sherita Berry. I want to welcome you on this morning to our brief study and teaching on Hanukkah. Glory to God, the history in Hanukkah. Glory to God. We call this the celebration of Hanukkah because Hanukkah is 8 days. This is the seventh day. Tomorrow is the eighth day in the lighting of the menorah. So we ask that you all just sit back, relax, and listen. And if you have any questions, you can press the number one if you're calling from Blog Talk Radio, or if you're on the conference call line, all you have to do is press star six to unmute yourself. And once again, I want to say hello and good morning to you all, and I hope that you all are having a blessed and awesome day. If you have a prayer request, you can email SheritaBrayMinistries@outlook.com. 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 Or you can visit the website by going to www.v.victor. P is in Paul, I is in ice cream, N is in Mary, S is in Sam, B is in ball, ministries.weebly, weebly.com. And once again, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome on this morning. To God, that was Clay Aiken, Mary, Did You Know, from his album, Merry Christmas with Love. Glory to God, and we're going to go on with our teaching on this afternoon. Glory to God, as we're talking about on today, Hanukkah and the history of Hanukkah. And we also, I have a clip, an audio clip that I'm going to play for you all for further reference on this afternoon as well. Hanukkah is also known as the Feast of Dedication, the Festival of Lights. We also reference John 10:22-23. Glory to God. Hanukkah is an 8-day celebration that symbolizing when the Jews raised up against the Syrian oppressors in a Maccabee revolt. Hanukkah is also referred as the Festival of Lights, which means the lighting of the menorah. At around 200 BC, Judah, known as the land of Israel, was controlled by Antiochus III, the king of Syria. He also allowed the Jews to live in that land so that they could continue practicing their religion. But apart from King Antiochus III, his son Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, outlawed the Jewish holiday and had ordered the Jews to worship Greek gods. And you can find more about this in First and Second Maccabees. And if you are familiar with the books of the Bible that was omitted from the Bible, you would know that the book of Maccabees, the first and second book of Maccabees, was omitted. So you can find that in the first and second books of Maccabees. So they forced the Jews to worship Greek gods, and they destroyed the temple, and they took all the holy items, and they replaced it with Greek goddesses of Zeus and those type of goddesses that in those regions. It's recorded that around 168 BC, he and his soldiers marched upon Jerusalem, and they massacred thousands of people, and they desecrated the holy temples, which they placed an altar to Zeus, and they sacrificed a pigs within the scared walls. So they had sacrificed pigs within the scared walls to, and they forced the Jews to worship those false gods. You also have to understand that the Hanukkah story and the Hanukkah outline and the story does not appear in the Torah. So if you are doing a research, you will not find it because the events took place after the Torah was written. Glory to God. And I'm going to stop right there because I want to play some of the audio clip. Glory to God. For you all, so that you all can also get that reference as well. And then I'm going to come back and read. Glory to God.
8 days of gifts and 8 days of gifts.
1 second.
8-day holiday where Jews celebrate the religious freedom that their ancestors fought for against the Greeks by giving 8 days of gifts and lighting a candle on the menorah every night. If you're a typical millennial Gentile like myself, then your only exposure to Hanukkah was probably the Rugrats holiday special.
A Maccabee's gonna do what a Maccabee's gonna do. Hanukkah, you have that when you say it.
Isn't it strange that that was the only depiction of a Jewish family on children's television? Anyway, this holiday isn't just celebrating a historical idea or concept, but rather a historical event. It's the story I want to tell you today. But in order to understand this holiday, we're going to need some background information, which means we're going to need to go all the way back to the 6th century BCE. In 586, the Neo-Babylonian Empire conquered Jerusalem and exiled the Israelite elites to Babylon, where much of the Old Testament would be first put into writing. This was an extremely important process for the Jews living in exile because it kept them connected to their heritage and religion. And for historians, it transformed the Jews from an oral tradition people to one of a written history. This exile is referred to as the Babylonian captivity, and it would finally be ended with the conquest of Babylon by Cyrus the Great in 539, which would give birth to the Achaemenid Persian Empire and allow the Jewish elites to return to Israel. As Persia became more powerful in the eastern Mediterranean, it came into conflict with the Greeks who had been colonizing the coast. The Greek city-states had been so busy fighting each other that they couldn't defend their colonies in Asia Minor, allowing the Persians to conquer them. This would eventually spark the Greco-Persian Wars, with such famous battles as Marathon or Thermopylae. Yet despite their victories, Athens and Sparta would go back to fighting each other, with Persia taking sides depending on who they felt like beating up that week. The Greeks would eventually be unified by someone as they saw as an outsider, Philip II of Macedon, who would create an alliance of all the Greek city-states except for Sparta, and would eventually have a plan to invade Persia. Unfortunately, though, Philip II died before that could happen, and the plan was picked up by his son, Alexander III, whom history knows better as Alexander the Great.
I'm going to stop right there. We're going to come back to it. Once again, I want to welcome everyone on this afternoon. When Judah Maccabee took the throne after his father died in 166 BC, it was within those 2 years that the Syrians was driven out of Jerusalem. They rebuilt the altar and cleansed the second temple. Remember, the temple was destroyed by the Syrians. Remember, they destroyed it and desecrated it. They lighted the menorah, the golden candle burn, which its seven branches represented knowledge, creation, and which were meant to be kept burning every night. Let's go back to our audio reference.
Alexander the Great would go on to conquer most of the known world up to that point, only to be turned back in Afghanistan when his army mutinied and refused to go any further. So he returned back west to his empire's new capital, Babylon, where he then proceeded to die of unknown causes. After his death, the empire was split up amongst his generals, who then began to fight with each other. Due to Israel being in the middle of the many east-west trade routes in the region, control of it has passed between many competing powers. Between the death of Alexander the Great and the events of Hanukkah, the city of Jerusalem would be passed back and forth between Ptolemaic Egypt and Seleucid Persia, both being ruled by Greek dynasties. But by the 2nd century BCE, Jerusalem would be firmly into the hands of the Seleucids, and it would be against them whom the Jews would finally rebel. At this time, Rome was a rising power in the Western Mediterranean.
The first book of the Maccabees tells us another story, which describes an eight-day celebration that followed rededication, which makes no reference to the miracle of the oil.
Having just won the Punic Wars against Carthage, the Seleucids wanted to become the dominant power in the Mediterranean, and so they embarked on a disastrous war with the Romans over control of Greece, which they lost and would be forced to pay the Romans a large sum of money. The Seleucid ruler at this time, Antiochus III, would spend the short remainder of his reign fighting a war with the Parthians in an attempt to procure enough money to pay the Romans. This would continue under his son, Seleucus IV, who would be assassinated in 175 and then be succeeded by his brother, Antiochus IV. Ruling a multi-ethnic empire is difficult, and it would be a whole lot easier if they had a single culture to unify them. Well, this is what I think Antiochus IV was doing. His plan was similar to that of Alexander the Great, except Alexander the Great wanted to create an empire with a merged culture of East and West, which is why he took a Persian bride, as well as forcing many of his generals to also take Persian wives, in order to create a Greco-Persian ruling class that could eventually bring the culture down further to the common peoples. And this process of spreading Greek culture, often referred to as Hellenization, was actually embraced by some Jews, as recorded in the Book of Maccabees. Come, let us make a covenant with the Gentiles around us, because ever since we have kept ourselves separated from them, we have suffered many evils.
1 Maccabees 1:11.
Greek architecture would become more common in the land of Israel, seeing temples to Greek gods and sporting arenas, where Jewish athletes would compete in the nude like their Greek counterparts. This was not too well received by the more traditional Hebrew populace, and things were only going to get worse. At this time, Jerusalem was ruled by a high priest appointed by the Seleucid king. At the time of Antiochus IV's ascension, the high priest was Onias III, who was a very Orthodox Jew. But he was replaced by his brother Jason, who had promised Antiochus greater tax revenues and was more friendly to the Hellenists. A group of Orthodox Jews, referred to as the Hasidim, formed a resistance movement to the Hellenists. Needless to say, Antiochus was not a fan of this group and was looking for a way to eliminate them. He found an opportunity to do so with a rival of Jason's, Menelaus, who offered even greater tax revenue than Jason did and was an active Hellenist. Jason was removed from the position of high priest and replaced by Menelaus, who allowed further Hellenization.
Hanukkah decorations, non-branch menorah, which is known in Hebrew as the Hanukkah. 8 nights, a candle is added after sundown, and the 9th candle, known as the Shemesh helper, is used to light the other candles. Jewish customs. Each time that they would light a candle, they would recite blessings during this ritual while lighting the menorah.
Jason would not take this lying down. When Antiochus went on campaign to conquer Egypt, Jason took an army he assembled and attempted to capture Jerusalem. The attack was a failure, but it revealed to Antiochus that the Hellenist policies were not favored by a majority of the populace. After returning from his failed conquest of Egypt, he sent an army to occupy the city, and on the Sabbath day, he launched an attack on all of Menelaus' more orthodox opponents and destroyed the walls around Jerusalem so that it would never become a hub of resistance. He not only made the city physically weak to attack, but also robbed the temple of all of its riches. Flavius Josephus describes the robbing of the temple in the 12th book of the Jewish Antiquities. The king came up to Jerusalem, and, pretending peace, he got possession of the city by treachery, at which time he spared not so much as those that admitted him into it. An account of the riches that lay in the temple, but led by his covetous inclination, and in order to plunder its wealth, he ventured to break the league he made. So he left the temple bare, and took away the golden candlesticks and the altar of burnt offerings, and left nothing at all remaining. The sacking of the temple would not be the last of Antiochus' assault on the Jews. The Book of Maccabees describes further decrees after the desolation. The king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the towns of Judah containing orders to follow customs foreign to the land, to put a stop to burnt offerings and meal offering and libation in the temple, to violate Sabbath and festivals, to defile temple and holy things, to build illicit altars and illicit temples and idolatrous shrines, to sacrifice swine and ritually unfit animals, to leave their sons uncircumcised, and to draw abomination upon themselves by means of all kinds of uncleanliness and profanation, so as to forget the Torah and violate all the commandments. And whoever disobeyed the word of the king was put to death.
That was in 1 Maccabees, the first chapter, verses 44 to 50.
From the perspective of Orthodox Jews, this was an all-out assault on their religion and their way of life. And from a modern perspective, you could even describe this as a cultural genocide. However, there are alternative views to this conflict. The Book of Maccabees portrays this conflict as a war of liberation, but some modern scholars describe it simply as a civil war between Hellenized Jews and more Orthodox Jews.
What was the miracle? It is said Judah Maccabees and other Jews whom took part in the rededication of the Second Temple, they had witnessed what they called a miracle. There wasn't enough untainted olive oil to keep the menorah candles burning for a single day. The flames kept on flickering for 8 nights, giving them time to find a fresh supply of untainted olive oil. This inspired the Jews to proclaim a yearly 8-day festival.
In which the Seleucids simply took the side of the Hellenists. In this interpretation, the laws against Jewish customs were little more than an administrative punishment over a province. This interpretation is somewhat supported by Flavius Josephus, who wrote in 1st century Roman Palestine. In chapter 5 of the Antiquities, he portrays the conflict as a rivalry between the high priest Jason and Menelaus, who, according to Josephus, were brothers. Thereby emphasizing this idea that this conflict was an internal one between Jews. There's merits to this idea, but there are problems with this interpretation. Although he describes the rivalry between Jason and Menelaus as the origins of the conflict, he still does point out that the Maccabees didn't revolt until after Antiochus made his anti-Jewish decrees. On top of this, there is no evidence outside of Josephus that Jason and Menelaus were actually brothers. But more importantly than that, there are...
So the menorah has 8 candles with a 9th candle in the middle of it. And each night, They will take the ninth candle, which is the Shamash, and they will light the candle each night at sundown and recite prayers and blessings and give gifts.
There are some context that needs to be understood about Josephus and the time he was writing in. At the time of his writing, Israel was under the control of the Romans, who had just put down a Jewish revolt in 70 CE, which resulted in the destruction of the Second Temple. His books were being written for a Roman audience, so for his own safety, he wasn't going to portray a Jewish revolt against the Hellenized power in a positive light. Regardless of why these decrees were made, they would spark a negative reaction amongst the populace and create a wider revolt. It began with a priest named Mattathias, who had five sons, the most prominent of which was Judah, whose nickname was Maccabeus, which in Hebrew means the hammer. When Antiochus' officials reached his village, Modin, Mattathias was asked by them to make a sacrifice to the Greek gods, but he refused. And when he did so, another Jew from the crowd came up and offered to make the sacrifice in his place. When this happened, Mattathias and his sons drew their swords and slayed the one who had come forward to make the sacrifice, as well as the official who had ordered them to do so. After this, Mattathias is said to have shouted, "All who are zealous for the sake of the Torah, who uphold the covenant, march out after me." After which, he and his sons ran off into the wilderness, formally starting the
A traditional blessing over the Hanukkah lights. Blessed are you, our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy through your commandments and commands us to light the Hanukkah light.
Maccabean revolt. The rebels, who would become known as the Maccabees, would fight a guerrilla war against the Seleucids for 7 years. Personally, I'm not too interested in the details of the fighting itself, but I will give you some necessary bullet points about the conflict. The war started in 167 BCE and lasted until 160. Mattathias would die in 165, whereupon his son, Judah the Maccabee, would take his place as the leader of the revolt. A series of battles would eventually give the Maccabees control of the city of Jerusalem in 164, where Mattathias' youngest son, Jonathan, would be made the high priest of Jerusalem. A Seleucid army was sent in order to retake Jerusalem. But later in 164, after the death of Antiochus IV, a general decided to recall the army in order to deal more with internal affairs. Between 164 and 160, a compromise was made between the Seleucids and the Maccabees ruling Jerusalem, in which the land of Judea was granted autonomy within the empire, and religious liberty was restored to the Jews.
Welcome everyone on today that's here on this afternoon as we talk about Hanukkah, and we went over the history of Hanukkah, the background of Hanukkah, and how they light the menorah. Once again, welcome, welcome, welcome. Now we're going to go to the first blessing over the Chanukah, which is another name for Hanukkah, menorah, and then we're going to go back to our audio on today.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tilanu lehadikner shel
That was the first blessing over the Chanukah menorah. Now back to our audio reference, the story of Hanukkah. And our audio reference is Casual Historian. You can find on YouTube.
The capture of Jerusalem, in which the miracle of Hanukkah is supposed to have taken place. For those who don't know, when the temple was retaken by the Jews, they needed to get rid of all the Greek statues and other unclean things that the Greeks had been doing inside the Second Temple. After the repairs were made, they sought to relight the candelabra that was supposed to remain lit at all times. But there was only enough oil to last one night. It was going to take the priests at least 8 days to make more oil, but they decided to light it anyway, and according to the legend, it lasted 8 nights. This story is probably why Josephus coined the term Festival of Lights for Hanukkah. The exact origin of this story is unclear. It's not recorded in the Book of Maccabees or in the writings of Josephus. The lighting of the candelabra is mentioned in Maccabees, but the oil lasting for 8 days is not mentioned in any of those texts.
Now we're going to go back to the Hanukkah blessing on the menorah. Blessing of the menorah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher kitchanu b'mitzvoiso V'tzivanu lehadlik ner Chanukam. Baruch atah Adonai.
This is the second blessing.
Noi Eloheinu Melech haolam Sha'asa nisim lavoteinu Bayamim ahem bazman hazeh.
This is the third blessing.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Shechiyanu vekimanu vehigiyanu lazman hazeh. Amen.
You want the...
We just listened to the third blessings of the menorah for Hanukkah. Now back to our audio reference. Reference our story, the story of Hanukkah, casual historian.
The miracle of the oil is first mentioned in the Talmud around 400 CE. Of course, this didn't mean that the story didn't exist before then. After all, the stories of the Old Testament were preserved by oral traditions of the Israelites until they were written down during the Babylonian exile. So there's no reason to suspect that the stories about the oil had not been passed down orally as well. So there ends the story of Hanukkah, or at least the part of the story I'm going to be telling you in this video. I'm planning on telling you what happened after this in another video.
So there you have it, the story of Hanukkah as given by a casual historian, and also the reference that we mentioned as well during our own study. We're also going to read John, and we're going to end with John, the 10th chapter, verses 22 to 23. John is in the New Testament. John, the 10th chapter, verses 22 to 23. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. I'm going to read it from the King James Version Bible. John 10, chapter verses 22 to 23. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. That's John 10, chapter verses 22 to 23. As we see that Jesus also attended the Feast of the Dedication, which is also known as Hanukkah, and the Festival of Lights as well. I thank you all for joining us on today. Know that God is an awesome God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. Glory to God. And I encourage you all to do your own research on Hanukkah and get familiar with Hanukkah. And get familiar with the 8 nights of lighting the candle of the menorah. We just played, once again, we just got finished to the story of Hanukkah, given by a casual historian. For our back, we always want to back things up with references. So that was one of our references, the story of Hanukkah by a casual historian, courtesy of YouTube. And we just got finished listening to 3 Hanukkah blessings on the menorah. And before we close out, we're going to go back and play those 3 blessings on the menorah as we close out on this evening.
Adonai Eloheinu.
This is the first blessing.
Ha'olam Asher Kitchanu V'mitzvoiso V'tzivanu Lehadlik Ner Chanukam.
This is the second blessing.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam she'asa nisim lavoteinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh.
This is the third blessing.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam שחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה.
Those were the three blessings on the menorah. Once again, I thank you all for joining me on today as we just took us in a brief study on the history of the hunt of Hanukkah and gave you some references. Once again, we listened to audio by Casual Historian as he talked about the story of Hanukkah. And we also listened to three blessings on Hanukkah. On the menorah. And once again, thank you all for joining me on today. May the good Lord bless you and keep you on today. Know that God is awesome. He's a great God. He's a just God. He's a wonderful God. He's a merciful God. And He's a God that's always on time. Glory to God. Know that I'm praying for you and your family. And know that God has greater things in store for you and your family. Be blessed.